Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues discussing the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu when he was thrown into the sea by his mother Yocheved because of the gzeira of Kol HaBen HaYilod HaYoret HaShtichua, and then, as we know, the Bas Paroi, the daughter Parabasia, found him. So the Gemara says that the time Achosa Abbas Paroi, Miriam, Moshe Rabbeinu's sister, says to the Bas Paroi, "Ha'elach akaros l'cha isha meinekes min evriyos. Should I go and call a woman who can nurse this child from the Jewish woman?" Ask the Gemara, "Mashna min evriyos. Why would she suggest that we have to get a Jewish woman? Why can't Bas Paroi take a non-Jewish woman?" Says the Gemara, "Malamed Sheikh Ziru LeMoshe Akol HaMitzriyas Kulan." They did try to have a Mitzri woman nurse Moshe Rabbeinu V'lo Yonak, but he refused to nurse from her, for he said, "Am Apesh Asa L'Daber in Meshchina, the mouth that's going to speak with Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yinek Dovet Tamei, should nurse from a woman who's not Jewish, from a woman that eats non-kosher food. V'hayin d'ksiv, esmi yoyredeya, who is the one to teach Torah? L'mi yoyredeya, who's the one that could teach Torah? L'mi yavin shmu, who could understand Torah? L'gemulei michalav, u'latikim mishtayim, people who were nursed properly." And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who was going to speak with the Shechina, didn't feel appropriate to eat and drink this non-kosher milk. It's interesting to note, Achloikus Rishonim, what is the halacha about nursing from a non-Jewish woman who eats non-kosher food? The Rach says that one should not allow the children to nurse such milk. The Rashba says that halachically it's permitted, because the Rashba says the milk is not directly the food, and therefore Apidin, a Jewish child can nurse from a non-Jewish woman who eats non-kosher food. However, the Rashba says, it's preferable the one should not have his children nurse from a person who's not Jewish and eating non-kosher food. And that is the halacha that the Rama quotes. In fact, the Shach says, along the same lines, that if the mother is not well, or the child is not well, one should always try to avoid giving the child to eat non-kosher food, because non-kosher food, these poskim explain, are matamtam libe shel adam. And the way they understand it is as follows. If someone will eat poison by accident, totally unintentional, he still ate poison. Similarly, non-kosher food, even if it was eaten on the permissible circumstances, is still non-kosher and should be avoided. And that's why some Paiskim suggest that the halacha is that on Shabbos, if someone has to eat meat and there's no kosher meat available, and the question is, should kosher meat be prepared or non-kosher meat be used? No, kosher meat should be prepared for the same reason, because one should always, under all circumstances, avoid eating non-kosher food, which is matamtam libay shel adam. There are other paiskim that suggest, that disagree, and they say that if the circumstances are that halachically there is no issue with eating the non-kosher food, then one may eat that non-kosher food. Certainly everyone agrees that if it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, one could eat the non-kosher food. So the Gemara continues. The Tamalai Bas Paroi, so the Bas Paroi tells Miriam Lichi, Amma Revelozim Melamed Shaholcha Bezrizis Ka'alma. She ran with a lot of vigor like a young girl. And first, explain what is the pasuk teaching us. One point is, as we learned in the previous year, that Miriam was an ill woman, so she usually didn't have the strength to run. Here, she mustered the strength to run quickly. Another pshat that I saw is that a young girl, when she runs in a sort of a haphazard way. Miriam did not want the Bas Paroi to figure out that she was Moshe Rabbeinu's sister. So she did it in a way that she wouldn't be caught that this is really his sister. On the other hand, she concealed who she was, that she's Moshe's sister, and she's taking Moshe Rabbeinu to nurse from his real mother. Again, we have a situation where the Bas Paro is saying something, and she doesn't even recognize what she's saying. This is really your own child. That's what she was saying to Yocheved. I'm giving you back your own child to nurse. And she says, I'll pay you. Bas Paro says to Yocheved, not only the tzaddikim get back something that they lost, they get paid for it. This was her son. She's nursing her son and she's getting paid for it. The pasuk says, after the Shira, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah Chois Aaron. Ask the Gemara, Chois Aaron v'loi Chois Moshe? Was Miriam only the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu? Miriam already said Nevuah, as we're going to explain in a moment, when she was just the sister of Aaron prior to Moshe Rabbeinu being born. She said the Nevuah about the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Farshim asked, why was Miriam the one that said the Nevuah, not Aaron? So I saw two answers. One answer is that a person cannot say Nevuah about something that affects themselves. Aaron, we know, was a partner with Moshe Rabbeinu and leading Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So it wouldn't be appropriate that Aaron should say the Nevuah about something he's going to do. Nevuah said about me by someone else. Another teretz that I saw is that Aaron was very young. He was below 3 years old. Miriam was older, so he was just too young to be a Navi. Vemeris. Miriam said, Asida imi shetei leben shemeshias Yisrael. My mother is going to have a son who's going to be the one that saves Klal Yisrael. Kivin shenoy leMoshe. Once Moshe Rabbeinu was born, nesmala kol habayis kula or. The entire house was glowing. And Mefarshim explained, because this was really the preview to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know the Torah says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, ki koran or ponov, that his face glowed. Amar aviyah v'nishka roisha. A father gave her a kiss. Amalei, biti neskayim nevaseich. Your nevuah was fulfilled. We really had this wonderful child. The kivin shetiyulu liyar, but once they threw him into the river, Amar aviyah v'tavcha roisha. Her father gave her a tap on the head. Amalei, biti heicha nevaseich. Where is your nevuah? So Mefarshim asked, we know that the halach is one of the fundamental halachas of our religion, is that we're supposed to believe Nevi'im under all circumstances. So how do we find that Amram is doubting Miriam's Nevuah? Mefarshim explained that concept that the Nevuah of a Navi should be believed under all circumstances only began after Moshe Rabbeinu, who was of Shekola Nevi'im, the greatest Navi. But this was pre-Moshe Rabbeinu. Then a Navi was only believed when he could, so to speak, substantiate what he was saying. So when Miriam said that there's going to be this wonderful child born, and it was somewhat substantiated, she was believed. Now that it was falling apart, Amram did not have to believe her. V'hayne d'ksiv, and this is pshat what the pasuk says, v'tesatzev achoyse merochek, l'das meyosaloi, l'ida, she wanted to know, ma'yeh b'sof nevosai, what will happen with her Navis. Yosef Zacha. So the pasuk says that Yosef, when he was buried, we learned in the Mishnah, when we were speaking about Midah Kenegad Midah, Yosef was buried by Moshe Rabbeinu because Yosef was so involved in burying his father. Ask the Gemara, Mishnah Mekara, if we follow the psukim that discuss the formation as they travel to bury Yaakov, the ksiv Yal Yosef Likvaris Aviv, Yal Itai Kalavdi Paroi, first Paroi's entourage went, v'hod v'kob beis Yosef v'beis Aviv. Then Yosef and the Shvatim went. U'mayshna, however, l'b'soif, when they're returning from the burial of Yaakov Inu, the ksiv Yosef Yosef Mitzrayim, hu v'achof, Yosef and his brothers were at the head of the procession, v'hod v'chol ha'olam itoy likvas Aviv, and only the Mitzrayim followed them. Why didn't they follow the same formation in both directions? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'tchila ad shelo ra'a b'kfodin shel Yisrael. As they were traveling to the kfura of Yaakov Avinu, they didn't see how the nations of the world showed such great honor to Yaakov Avinu and to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, Loi Nagaben Kavod, they didn't show us that respect, and they felt that they should travel at the head of the line. However, Ubsav Shurab Kvaidam, as we were returning, and they saw, as the Gemara will explain in a moment, the tremendous Kavod that was afforded to Yaakov's children, then they had a whole different perspective to them, and Nagaben Kavod. The Ksiv, the Yovad Goyren Otter, as they're traveling, they came to a place called Goyren. Goyren, we know, is a warehouse with a thresh grain, ha'atar of thorns. So ask the Gemara, v'chigarin yesh le'la atar, what's the connection between a warehouse and the thorns? Amar avua, melamet shikfur kisrarim la'aroyna shayakov kigarin, zesh me'kifim le'atar. Typically around a warehouse, they're going to have thorns. I guess it's a primitive alarm system that gave people away from entering the warehouse. And that's what happened here. Achabar b'nei Esav b'nei Yishol b'nei Keturah, these nations of the world, Tanu came, Kulal Mechobo. They all came to hold battle with Klal Yisrael that time. They thought that we were vulnerable. We're going to bury Yaakov Avinu. Kivin Shiro Kisra Shal Yosef Tar Baron Shal Yaakov. But where they saw that Yosef's crown was on top of the coffin of Yaakov Avinu, not Lekulan Kasreim, but Tolan Baron Shal Yaakov. They put them on Aaron's coffin, and they all subjugated themselves to the Shvatim. So Mefarshim explained, what is the Gemara really saying? The Gemara is saying is we need to know what is the main point. So the main point here, the person that deserved the greatest respect was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, by putting his crown on the coffin of Yaakov Avinu, was saying the following. Yosef was saying, I may be the Mishnah Lamelech of Mitzrayim, but everything that I am is really just because of my father. In fact, the Mefarshim say it even deeper, that Yosef was saying, I came to Mitzrayim, I was the one that helped Mitzrayim, but everything that I did was just really an introduction for my father to ultimately come to Mitzrayim. My father is the real source of all of this Kavod. And the world came to that recognition, who Yaakov was. And when the world came to the recognition, the Mitzrayim recognized who we, the Bnei Yaakov, are. Tana, says the Braitzer, Shloshim v'shishik sorim, 36 crowns, not lubaroyna shel Yaakov, were put on the crown of on the coffin of Yaakov. So Farshim explained, what is the significance of the number 36? So it's the first time I ever found. We know Chai, we always speak about Chai, 18. 36 is two times Chai. What they were saying was that Yaakov Avinu had Chai Boilem Hazeh, and Yaakov Avinu's Chai Boilem Haba. 2 times 18 is 36. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that there are 36 averis for which one can receive kares. And what they were saying was that Yaakov had avoided and never done any of those 36 averis. And if we look at the word kares, and we look at the word keser, they're the exact same letters. Yaakov, instead of doing averis that bring chas v'sham kares, he did the opposite. He never did such averis. And that was keser, that was the crowning achievement of his life, that he lived the life of doing mitzvahs and not doing averis. 36. That was mutter, they say. It's chutzlaritz. Says the Gemara. Tana, v'yispidu sham mispegadol v'kavod ma'oid. Tana, afil susim v'afil chamayim. Even the horses and the donkeys show mourned over him. The Farshim obviously have a hard time explaining what does it mean that the horses and donkeys mourned over him. So I saw quite a few pshatim. One pshat is that their custom was that when they came to a funeral, they used to put on black clothing on the horses and donkeys. So the horses and donkeys cried for Yaakov Avinu. Another pshat that I saw, two similar pshatim, is that the horses and donkeys, when we know that when Yaakov entered Mitzrayim, the hunger stopped. And they remembered that they were now able to have food in Schus of Yaakov, and that's why they mourned. Another pshat is just the opposite, not just the opposite, very similar, that when Yaakov died, the hunger stopped when he arrived to Mitzrayim. When he died, the hunger resumed. So now they were hungry, and they were hungry because of Yaakov Avinu's death. Another pshat, however, is that the horses and donkeys don't mean animals, it means humans. That even people who weren't of the greatest stature, the horses and donkeys recognized what the patira of Yaakov Avinu represented. But I saw one more pshat, very beautiful pshat. Horse is typically considered, a horse means a balgaiva, arrogant. A donkey is usually the paradigm of someone who is lazy. Usually, arrogant people and lazy people don't go to funerals. The arrogant person says, who's that person? And the lazy person just doesn't go anywhere. Yaakov Avinu's death was such an event that even the people who were arrogant, like the horses, and even the people who are lazy, like the donkeys, knew that they have to turn up to this Levaya. Continues the Gemara. Kivin Shagil and Maris Machpelah, when they arrived at the Maris Machpelah, Osa Esav Kam Akiv. Esav came and tried to prevent them from burying Yaakov then. Amrle Mamre Kiryas Arba Hichavra. Vamrab Yitzchok, Kiryas Arba. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? Arba Zugas. There's room for four couples there. Adam v'chava, Avram v'sara, Yitzchak v'rifka, Yaakov v'leya. We know those are the four couples buried there. But what Esa was saying, Iu kavra l'leya b'dedei, our parents, Yitzchak and Rifka, had two children, Yaakov and Esa. So each one of us deserves one spat. So Yaakov, you used up your spat by giving it to Leya. Iu kavra l'leya b'dedei, v'hai d'payish. So the empty spat that's open, the dehu, is left for me. And the first explained, because Esav was saying that I want to be buried next to Leah, because Leah really was supposed to be my wife. Amalei, Zavinta. So the children of Yaakov told Esav, you bought this, you sold the Bechira to Yaakov. Amalei, Nei, the Zvina Bechirosai. Yes, I did sell my Bechira. Pshitosai, mi Zvini. But I didn't give up being a son, so I do deserve some part of the Amaris Machpelah. Amalei, so they told him in. The Ksiv, Bekivri Esha Karisli, Yaakov Avinu told his children, I bought this burial spot. Bar Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Shimon ben Yitzadik, Ein Kira El Losha Mechira. Kira means that he bought it. She came, Karcha Yoyim, Karan La Mechira Kira. Kira is another way of saying I bought it. And as the Medrash says, when Yaakov Avinu met Esav, when he was leaving the home of Lavan, he had a lot of money. And he took all the money and put it down. And he told Esav, I'm willing to give you all this money if you give me your share of the Maris Machpelah. And Esav, of course, said yes. And now he was trying to renege on the deal. So far, should make a number of observations, halachic observations. One observation is that the halach is that one is not supposed to disinherit a son. So how is Esav disinherited? The answer is, a father is not supposed to disinherit the son. Here, Esav walked away from it. That's different. Another point that's made is that the halacha is, Gemara says in the beginning of Masechta Basra, that let's say there's a family plot. Family plot, and one of the members of the family sells his plot, and then he dies. The family could demand that we want to bury him there, because he belongs here. So why wasn't this the same situation? So Mefarshim explained, it is a valid taina, but if he sold it, he has to give back the money. And if Esav, even if he has a valid halachic claim, but the money, then he has to pay back, which of course he wasn't prepared to do. But then the Mefarshim, the Paiskim ask, we know throughout Shas there's a concept, an ein on the makna, dovish labal oilam. You can't sell something that didn't exist. So how could he sold the Bechira and everything, it was a dovish labal oilam? So one answer is the famous Rashi in Chumash, that Yaakov really felt that he was the Bechor. Why? Because Yaakov was created first, he came out second. That's one pshat. Another pshat, that if something is sold with a shvua, then it can even be sold a dovish level oilam. We know that Yaakov said he's shavali. So since he swore, that's effective even for dovish level oilam. Another teretz, similar teretz, that a kinyan Chalipin is effective in a Dovah Shalai B'Lailam. And another text that I saw from the Ktsaif is that there's two parts to selling something. You could sell something or you could walk away from something. So that's true. You can't sell something that doesn't exist. But you could walk away from rights. And that's what Esav did here. He walked away from any claim. Omalu, so Esav is saying, so they're having this debate, and they're saying you sold it. So he said, Havali Agirta. So Esav says, show me the document that proves that I sold it. Omalu Agirta Be'arad Mitzrayim. We left the document in Mitzrayim. Oman Nezel, who's the one that's going to run to find it? Nezel Naftali, the Kolakayelta. Naftali should be the one to run, because he is as swift as a deer. The Ksiv Naftali Ayola Shlucha, Hanoisen Imre Shofar. Omer Avuvu, I'll take Omer Shofar. They didn't bring Omer Shofar, El Omer Seifa. He's the one that's going to bring the document. Says the Gemara. Chushin Berei, the Don, Taman Hava. Chushin, Don's son was there. V'yakonai Odnei. And he was a person that was hard of hearing. First, him also debate if he couldn't speak either. Omelai Mayhai. So he asked, what's going on here? V'omelai Kom Akiv Hai. At the Os Naftali Marad Mitzrayim. They're waiting for Naftali to come back with the document. Omlo, the Ad the Os Naftali Marad Mitzrayim. Until Naftali comes back, Yov, Yehei Avi Abba Mutuba Zoyin, Yaakov Avinu will lay here. And from here to Mepharshim point out that we see that a grandson has the obligation to respect the grandfather. He was worried about his grandfather. Although the Shor Mitzion Malacha says it's not really a raya, because here it's not an inyan of covet. Here it is a disgrace that he's laying there. Shokel Kufa, he took a stuck, Machia Reisha, and he hit Esav. So there's a very famous fart from Chaim Shmulevitz. The entire family standing there. Why is Chushim the only one that took the initiative of worrying about the covet of Yaakov Avinu? So he speaks to the human nature. He says the human nature is that once you enter into debate with someone, even if you don't agree with the other person, it has an influence on you. Once he heard, all the other Shvatim were not hard of hearing. So they were debating with Esav. And even if they didn't agree with Esav, his claims, so to speak, had an influence on them. Chushim, the Gemara just said, didn't hear. And that, so he wasn't influenced by what Esav said. And therefore, since he wasn't influenced by what Esav said, he took the initiative, what's going on, how my grandfather is being treated. Says the Gemara, Nosr Enai, his eyes of Esav fell out, V'nofla Kara de Yaakov, and they fell on Yaakov's feet. Why dafka the eyes? So two pshat. One pshat is because we go back to what we spoke about earlier, they didn't want that Esav should be next to Leah, and Leah, we know, cried that she should never be next to Esav. So that's the significance of the eyes. Another pshat is that all of the bare things that there are about Esav all emanate from his eyes. Whatever he saw, he wanted, and that was the beginning of all his trouble. Peschinu Yaakov Enei, Yaakov opened up his own eyes for Achich. Even though he was dead, he opened his eyes and smiled. Van Niksiv, Yismach Tzadik, Kichozer Nokom Pomov, Yirchatz Bedam HaRosha. He saw the revenge in the Rosh Esav. But Oysa Shah, the sky in the Vosha Shah Rivka. That moment, the Nevuah of Rivka was fulfilled. The Ksiv, Loma Eshkol Gam Shnechem Gam Echad. That my two children would die on the same day. And this is what happened. And as Mepharshim explained, even though Rivka is not considered one of the Nevi'os, but it's again the concept that we've been discussing, Niba v'lo yada ma Niba. She said Nevuah, but she didn't really know exactly what she was saying. The Maril Diskin says a very nice pshat. There's a pasuk that Yaakov says, V'yiraloi ma'oi v'yetzaloi. So what's pshat v'yiraloi ma'oi v'yetzaloi? That he was scared what Esav would do to him. The Yetzalai, it also bothered him if he would have to kill Esav. That's when Yaakov and Esav met. So Meryl Diskin asks, why was Yaakov so upset if he would have to kill Esav? If Esav is looking to hurt him, why should he be upset? Says the Meryl Diskin, Yaakov knew of the Nevuah of Rivka, that the day Esav dies is also the day he will die. So the Yetzalai, he was very bothered that if he's going to kill Esav, he'll also end up dying that day. Says the Gemara, V'afgav de misosin lo b'yom echad, even though they didn't actually die on the same day, k'vros mi b'yom echad havoy, their burial was on the same day. The Trumas Hadeshin says from Lahalocha, there's always a question, what day to hold as a yard site? The day of the death or the day of the kfura? Here we seem to have a raya that we follow the day of the kfura, because it's considered the day Yaakov died is considered the day of the kfura. Even though the halach is, most people, certainly besides the first year, don't hold the day of the kfura as the day of the yahrzeit. They hold the day of the death of the yahrzeit. What about our Gemara? So the Mefarshim say you can't bring a raya from Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. Yaakov Avinu really didn't die. So the only thing that happened with him was that he was buried. So by him, the day of burial is the more significant day. But by people who actually die, the day of death is the day of the yahrzeit. Says the Gemara. So Yosef is given, as we learned in the Mishnah, all of the credit for burying Yaakov. Ask the Gemara, v'loy osebei Yosef, if Yosef hadn't taken care of Yaakov's burial, echov loy hav maskebei, wouldn't the other shvatim have taken care of it? V'ksiv Yosef oisei bonav arzu kanan. Oma, so why is Yosef given so much credit? Oma lai hinecha kvoidim v'malocha Yosef v'jaitis. Surely they would have done it. But it was certainly a greater respect to Yaakov that Yosef, who was the Melech Mitzrayim, should be the one to handle his burial. And interestingly, I saw l'alocha l'maisa, something that we learn from this Gemara. Sometime, we know that throughout halacha, there's a concept of mitzvah ba yosef b'shluchai. It's great if somebody does the mitzvah himself than to rely on a shliach to do it on his behalf. But let's say the mitzvah will be enhanced when it's done by someone else. Then, we don't say that rule. I saw an example. Sandakos. Let's say somebody has a son. So why doesn't he take sandakos for himself? Because you want to give it to somebody who's greater than you. Where do we see that? From here. The brothers were willing to forego their opportunity to bury their father because it would have been a greater respect that Yosef should be the one taking care of it. Says the Gemara, Milan and Godel Yosef. Tan Rabbanan. Ba Ure'ei Kamechavivis Mitzvahs on Moshe Rabbeinu. How great, how much love Moshe Rabbeinu had to mitzvah. Shekhar Yisrael, Kulan Asasku B'Biza, everybody was busy taking the Bizas Mitzrayim, V'hu Nisatzik B'Mitzvahs. Shenemar Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvahs. He took the mitzvah bearing Yosef. So Mefarshim ask, what is Pshat? This is a mitzvah, and this is a mitzvah. So why is he considered a Chacham Leiv? So the simple, obvious teretz is, There are a lot of mitzvahs, but we all, you know, there's a mitzvah to eat and there's a mitzvah to fast. I choose the mitzvah to eat. Here too, there's a mitzvah to take money and there's a mitzvah to bury someone. Which is the mitzvah that you would prefer? You would prefer the mitzvah of taking money. Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu, chose the mitzvah that didn't bring any personal benefit. Then the question is that, why is it called mitzvahs? You take many mitzvahs. Where are the many mitzvahs? There's only one mitzvah. He buried Yosef. So one pshat that I saw is that not only did he take Yosef's atzomis, but he took all the other shvatim. So it's many. Another pshat that I saw is that because he took Yosef, they couldn't leave Mitzrayim until they took Yosef. So all the other mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael did, that they took the Bizas Mitzrayim, only were fulfilled because Yosef, because Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared to take the body of Yosef. So he gets credit for all the mitzvahs. Mefarshim also suggests that Moshe Rabbeinu really didn't have a claim for the Bizas Mitzrayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was from Shevet Levi, who didn't work in Mitzrayim, so their claim to the Bizas Mitzrayim was so much less. Umanayim continues the Gemara, Hayodei Moshe Rabbeinu Hechi Yosef Kover. Where did he know where Yosef was? Oma Sarach Bas Asher Neshtayim Ma'asa Ador. Sarach Bas Asher was still there, was left from the people that were there when Yosef died. Halach Moshe Etzla, Moshe Rabbeinu met her. Amar Klum Ak Yodas, Heichen Yosef Kover. Do you know where Yosef is buried? Amalai, Oren Shematchus Osloi Mitzrayim. They made him a metal coffin. The Kavua Ben Nilus Hamnor, and he was buried in the Nilus. Kadesh is Baruch Maimov. In order that the water of Mitzrayim, which we know that the entire agriculture of Mitzrayim lives off the Nile, so they wanted his daddy to be buried there. Halach Moshe v'amen asfas Nilus. So Moshe Rabbeinu stood by the border of the Nilus. Amala Yosef Yosef, Higio Eish Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenigoy Leschem. The time has come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking us out of Mitzrayim. And you had made us swear that we will take your body with us. If you reveal yourself, mutav. If you don't, we're absolved from our obligation. The metal coffin floated up. How does metal float? The pasuk speaks about the metal floating. And we get to the point for Yitzhak Barzel. Says the Gemara, Veloy Dvarim Kavachoyma. Omar Elisha Talmidah Shel Eliyahu. Elisha was the Talmud of Eliyahu. Veliyahu Talmidah Shel Moshe. How is Eliyahu Moshe Rabbeinu's Talmud? So two pshatim. Everybody's a Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because we learned the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Or some say Eliyahu's Pinchas. And Pinchas was actually a disciple of Moshe Rabbeinu. Sof Basel Miponov, he was able to have the metal float. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu was able to make the metal float. The Farshim discuss why was Serach the one to tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu go to the children of Yosef? So Farshim say that Yosef Rabbeinu was concerned about his children, because we know that Ephraim tried to leave the Midbar early. We know Chatzi Shev Menashe didn't even want their portion at Israel. So he wasn't so happy what he saw happening with his children. That's why he relied on Serach. Another pshat, which we find very common, is that Galgun's Chusay Dei Zakai. We always find good people get to do good things. We know Serach was the one that told Yaakov Avinu about Yosef being alive. So we also had, she also had the Chus of telling Moshe Rabbeinu where Yosef was buried. Rav Nasan Omer, b'kabanet shemalachim ayakover. He was buried in a burial place where all kings were buried. Holach Moshe v'omer kabanet shemalachim. Moshe Rabbeinu went to that cave. Omer Yosef, higi eish nidish ba'akadosh baruch sheni goyel eschem. The time has come that HaKadosh Baruch says, I'm redeeming you. V'gi ha'shvu shishbatas Yisrael. And the time for you to come is here. Im atamar atzmecha mutav, m'lav, Hareinu menokim b'shvoscha. We're free. B'yisus shah, nizdaz aroinus shal Yosef. Between all of the aroinus in that cave, Yosef's aron started to shake. Not l'mish, Moshe v'vietzlai. So Mepharshim point out. The point here, everybody agrees, is that the kever of Yosef was hidden. Nobody knew really where it was. Why? So Mepharshim explained that the Pashup shot I saw is because they were afraid that they would turn it into an Avodah Zarah. Yosef represented the Panasa that he brought to Mitzrayim. They didn't want that Yosef should turn into an Avodah Zarah, so it was hidden. Either it was deep in the Nile, or it was somewhere in a cave, but you couldn't identify which one it is. I saw Gevalde Gevart from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He explains that a person has an affinity to the place where his parents or relatives are born, are buried. If Klal Yisrael would have known all those years where Yosef was buried, it would have become a shrine. People would have always gone to daven to those kfarim. And they would have become attached to that place. And it would become very difficult for them to leave Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that to happen. So by never knowing where Yosef was buried, it never really turned into a shrine, and they never developed an attachment to that place. The Paiskim also used this Gemara to teach us halacha l'maisa. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yosef that if you won't keep your side of the deal in revealing where you are, we'll be absolved from keeping our side of the deal of taking you out of Mitzrayim. From here the Paiskim say that if two people enter into an agreement, if one party reneges, then the other party is allowed to renege also. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. If you don't keep your side of the deal, we're not obligated to keep our side of the deal. Continues the Gemara. The Kol HaShanim Shal Yisrael b'Midbar, all of those years the Klai saw in the Midbar, Haya Shnei Haroinus Halalu. There were two Haroinus. Echad Shemais, Vechad Shal Shechina. Mehalchim Zem Zeh. They were traveling together with Moshe Rabbeinu. Vaya Ovrim V'Shovrim, and whoever passed Moshe Rabbeinu seeing these two boxes. What are these two? So Mefarshim ask obvious question, that speaking about the Aron of Yosef before they speak about the Aron HaKadosh. So one terence is very simple terence. The coffin in which Yosef was buried was a lot bigger than the Aron. The Aron wasn't a very big box. So they noticed that one first. The other one is to show that Yosef kept everything that's said in the Torah even before the Aron with the Torah was given. As the Gemara v'chim me'adakus ha'meis l'halachim shechina, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, went with the Machne Shechina. Is that the place for an Aron of a meis? Amar kaim zeh ma'ato shekosu b'zeh. He kept, Yosef kept everything in the Saras HaDibris. But the Ben Yoyada points out, kaim zeh, what does it say the word zeh? He says zeh represents the seventh of the Saras HaDibris and the fifth of the Saras HaDibris. What is the seventh? Lysinov. We know that Yosef didn't have relations with the Eishes Potifar. So he was careful about the seventh one. And what was the fifth one? Kabed Esavich Vasimecha. Why didn't Yosef do the Avera? Because the Musti Yuknai Shalaviv, he saw his father. Kaim Zeh, Yosef was specifically careful to Mekayim the seventh and the fifth Dibra of the Sebes of Devers. Ask the Gemara, the Layasik by Moshe, if Moshe Rabbeinu had not taken care of the Aron of Yosef, Yisrael av maskebe, though nobody else would have done. V'ksiv v'asvus Yosef v'ashahel b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim kavru b'shchem. We know after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away and they went into Yisrael, so the rest of Klal Yisrael took care of the Aron of Yosef. Furthermore, v'soy ilay iskebe Yisrael, if Klal Yisrael wouldn't have taken care of it, b'nei Yisrael av maskebe, wouldn't have his family, his descendants. V'ksiv yul b'nei Yosef v'nachma. Amr Klal Yisrael said, hinichuloi. It's better than a large crowd should take care of it than a small. Yes, the family would have taken care of it, but they felt it would have been a greater honor that Moshe Rabbeinu, our leader, should take care of it. So it says that he was buried in Shechem. Why was Yosef specifically buried in Shechem? Shechem is where he was sold. Well, Shechem, Nachsa, Avidasa, that's where he was taken back. Ask the Gemara. Kasha Kroa Dodi. We have here a contradiction. Ksiv v'yikach Moshe, es atmos Yosef imoy. Moshe Rabbeinu took the atmos Yosef. And the other hand, ksiv, es yatmos Yosef, ashehel b'nei Yisrael. The Klai Yisrael took it. So who took it? Moshe Rabbeinu or them? Says the Gemara. Omer Rav Chama b'chanina. If somebody begins doing a mitzvah but he doesn't complete it, or bo ach of a gomrei and someone else completes it, mal kosov al shigomro kili osel. Since Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the one that actually buried him, as we just learned, he was buried in Shechem. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're going to learn, didn't even make it to Eretz Yisrael, so they get the credit. So the Paiskim discuss. First of all, we speak about the importance of completing a mitzvah, going till the end. In fact, that's why the Paiskim say that when one does a bris milah, so there's the milah and the priya. We don't find that we take different people to do the milah and priya. Why? Because we want the moel who began the milah to complete it. The question that comes up, many Paiskim discuss the shaila, is if someone began a mitzvah and someone else completed it, who gets the credit? So Ramosha quotes in the Tshuvas, as Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov, that says as follows. He says, if the person who completed the mitzvah could have never completed it without the first person beginning it, then the first person gets credit. But if the person who completed it could have also begun it and completed it, then the beginning person doesn't get credit. And this is a case where they could have really done it without Moshe Rabbeinu. The question that comes up, the place can discuss, is by Shatchanis. Sometimes you have a case where somebody comes up with an idea about a match, but somebody else does the actual work of making the Shidduch. Who deserves the Shatchanis? So if we follow Ramosha's formula, so certainly the person who came up with the idea deserves some Shatchanis, because who says that the other person would have ever thought of the idea? The Paiskim say that in such a situation, the person who came up with the idea should get one third of the shatchanis, and the person who actually made, who did all the work, should get two thirds. There should be enough to divide. Says the Gemara. Rav Elazar Omer, af maridin oisa migdulasai. Also the person who doesn't finish mitzvahs loses his position. Tiksiv, vehi ve'esa, hi ve'yer Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Nachmani Omer, af kaivers ishto bonov. He will bury his children, his family. Tiksiv, v'tomas bashua eishas Yehuda. Tiksiv, v'yamas erva oinim. Yehuda's children erva oinim died. Why? Why? Where do we find that Yehuda didn't complete the mitzvah? Omer Yehuda Merav. He didn't complete the mitzvah. Why didn't he complete the mitzvah? So Farshim explained, because the Shvatim said to Yehuda, you started saving Yosef, but you didn't finish. If you would have told us to take him back to our father, we would have listened. And that's why he was punished. Why specifically these two punishments? So I sort of, the Maral explains. Why is it so important to finish a mitzvah? He said, because human nature is when you complete a job, you're happy. When you don't finish the job, you're really not satisfied. Also, if somebody begins a mitzvah, he says, and he doesn't complete it, it's like he made a nether. Beginning to do a mitzvah means you made a nether, you're going to do it. And when you don't complete it, it's like you're violating your nether. So that's why somebody loses his family if he doesn't finish the mitzvah. Because if you lose your family, it's the opposite of being happy. So if you weren't happy with the mitzvah, you didn't finish. And give yourself the opportunity to be happy will make you unhappy by losing your family. And the other pshat, the Maral says, if it's like violating a neder, because the halacha is, we learned the Masechta Nedarim, that if somebody violates his Nedarim, he loses his family. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehud Amar Rav, Neima Nikra Yosef at Somos Bechayiv, it says, Yosef said he should take my bone, Neishalai Micha Bekfoid Aviv. He didn't protest when the Shvatim called Yaakov Avinu Avdecha. Damakamali Avdecha Avinu, V'lamalo V'lo Midi. He didn't protest. And the Farshim say, he died 10 years before everybody else, because he heard them say 5 times, Avdecha Avinu, and he also had the interpreter, because they didn't realize he understood what them. Interpreted 5 times, equals 10. Why Atzamas, why bones? Number one is because we say the person that's not significant, we just have his bones. Another pshat is that the Gemara says that there's shlosha shutfin ba'adam, 3 partners, a father, a mother, and Hashem. The bones a person has come from his father's DNA. So because Yosef didn't show respect to his father, he was left to be just a pile of bones. V'amar Yehuda Merav, v'tem Rav Chama, b'rei v'chaninim, v'mnaim ma'yosef koydim l'echof. Why did he die earlier? He acted a little arrogantly. And as the Maral explains, but it doesn't mean that he was a Rav. There's nothing wrong with being a rabbi. What's wrong with acting and expecting people to treat you better, to treat you differently? What's wrong with it? So he explains, everybody needs the schus of being a member of Klal Yisrael. If you act differently and want to be treated, you're separating yourself from Klal Yisrael. So you don't have the siyat d'shmaya of Klal Yisrael with you. It says the Gemara, the Yosef Hurid Mitzrayma, Amar Belezer, Atikri Hurid, Ela Hurid. She Hurid, that's the Gnini Par Migdolosan. Pari had all of these advisors, and they lost their position because Yosef came up with a great idea. V'yikne Paitifah Siris Para, Amar Rav, Shekona Latzmai. He brought him to have homosexual relations with him. Bar Gavriel, Kafriel came, or Piroi, he castrated him. Bikarik Siv, Paitifar, Upsai Paitifara. Milan and Godel Mamosha, Vyoim Hashem Elai, Ravlach. Moshe Rabbeinu told Kairach, Ravlacha, Kikolai the Kulm Kadoshim. And we also find that Hashem tells him, Ravlach, you won't enter at Yisrael. Amrav, Rab Biser, he used that word, Barab Isru, and that words were used to him. Barab Biser, he told Kairach Vadasar, Ravlachem, and Rabbi Sura, Ravlach, you won't enter that Yisrael. So what was wrong what he said to Kairach? Kairach's people were wrong. He said, so the Mefarshim explain again, Moshe Rabbeinu on his level, was saying to them, they came to him and they said they want to come close to Hashem. He should have not said to them, Ravlach. He should never tell a person who's saying that he wants to come close to Hashem, don't. Davacha, Rav Yeshlecha, there's already a new Melech, Mani Yeshua. It came time for Yeshua to be Melech. If you're going to keep on begging and a Kadosh Baruch Hu will deny it, people will be upset. Why was he punished so terribly? He didn't really do anything wrong. According to the donkey is the way. Nothing that he did was really such a big aveira. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. And on his madrega, even the smallest aveira is an aveira.